The reading is from Romans chapter 12, beginning at the 16th verse. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of lowest state. Be not wise in your own counsels. Pay back no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the text today is, mind not high things, but think of things of low degree. I'm supposed to keep this homily at 5 minutes. I can't even clear my throat in 5 minutes normally. The day today reminds me, as I got out early this morning, that when I lived in Northwest Ontario, where it was 55 degrees below zero one February morning without wind chill, I recalled that the Native Americans up there had three words for cold. It was cold, cold, or cold. Today it's, for us, cold. Mind not high things. There are some simple things to the Christian faith that every one of us ought and need know to be a Christian. That's what Luther said, and that's why he wrote his small catechism. And that is why, in large measure, we have Lutheran schools. So kids can know what it means to be a Christian. And it's very, very simple. The Bible is sometimes a complex book, hard to understand, hard to explain, but its basic teachings are very, very simple. And there are six of them. The Ten Commandments. The law is but a mirror bright to bring the inbred sin to light. The Ten Commandments are there so that you look at them and you go, ah, that's me. I didn't realize I was so ugly. You see all of your blemishes, your pimples, your shortcomings, and all of us have to say, that's the true me. I fall short. And if you don't see yourself in that mirror when you read the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. What are you afraid of? Afraid of what people will say about you? Afraid of what people will think about you? Afraid of what people might do to you? That's why you don't mention Christ, etc., etc. Be honest. The law condemns us all. The creed. The creed is high-minded in one sense, but it's very simple. God is our Father. He is our gracious Father. The Father who created all things, including every one of you, and you are absolutely precious. You are simply and specially made to be just you. And there's not another person in the history of the world who's ever been just like you and never will be. Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, etc. Christ dies on a cross for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. He bought it by His holy, precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. And there's a Holy Ghost, not so you can jump around and act crazy, but so you can actually hear a word of God which accompanies the Holy Ghost. It says, God loves every one of you, Lancer singers. He proved it. And even as I speak it today, your sins are forgiven. And the Lord Christ will give you what you need for today. Lord's Prayer. How do we start our prayer? Our Father who art in heaven. You ever wonder how to pray? Jesus taught us. And He teaches us there that God is our own dear Father and that we are His dear children. He loves us. He loves you tremendously. Jesus gave a prayer especially for you. Hallowed be Thy name. Help me to believe Your word and live like it, Lord. Thy kingdom come. Bring Your kingdom on, Lord, especially to me. Thy will be done, even in the midst of tough stuff, Lord. Your will is done in my life, and teach me through the tough stuff, just like the cross, that it'll all work for good. And then there's baptism. You're baptized. Christ is held on to you. The Bible is very clear about baptism. It says, baptism now saves, 1 Peter. Arise and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And it's not a one-time deal. You're baptized. You are Christ. If you aren't baptized, get baptized. It's very easy. You are Christ, and according to Galatians, he puts his robe of righteousness on you. So no matter what your sins, no matter what your failings, no matter what you struggle with, no matter what depression, clinical depression, all kinds of challenges in life, the Lord Christ sees you as his own brightly robed child. It's like you're standing there on Mount of Transfiguration, and your robe is just as bright as his, because it's his. Confession and absolution. The Bible teaches this too. Whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven unto them. This is a major point. I suspect that most young people who go to Lutheran schools who don't end up adults and staying in the church is because of this one especially. We must have families that speak forgiveness. In my day, when I was your age, we didn't hug. We had the German thing going. And all of a sudden, my wife's family were huggers. And then I became a hugger, and then it crept into my family. You know, the A-frame hug, and from there it's just grown over the years. And we even started to say, I love you. I didn't grow up with that. We loved each other, but I surely didn't grow up saying, I forgive you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I forgive you all your sins in the name of Jesus. You know what that's supposed to do besides forgiving you? Open your mouth. And so when someone sins against you, you don't say, I'll forgive you as soon as you come right over here and grovel at my feet. You better kneel pretty low. I want to see you grovel, and I want to see it done in front of all these other people. Is that how Jesus treats you? Not by a long shot. I forgive you. Dad, forgive me. That's all right. No, Dad, speak it. Forgive me. I forgive you. You're forgiven. The strongest, most powerful thing for Christian families, and dare I say to you, and I've seen a lot of them, I'm getting gray hair, the strongest thing for a Christian marriage, to be in church forgiven at the same time, confessing your sins, and to go home as people who know how to confess and forgive. The Lord's Supper. Why does God give us the Lord's Supper? For the forgiveness of all of our sins, body and blood. I don't know how it's body and blood, but he says it is, and it is, and I believe it. And it's given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Why does he give us this on top of everything else? For our forgiveness and joy. He knows we need forgiveness in many different places. These, my friends, are not high things. These are low things. These are lowly truths. And they'll stay with you because they're true. It's God's own teaching, God's own word. And no matter how smart you get, no matter what university you get into, no matter what your ACT score, this remains true. And it's for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.